Good to see everybody. I think this is the fullest this church has ever been, maybe. Maybe. How many are excited in the Lord? Don't you know, Megan, that he's faithful? Is he going to be faithful tonight? Is he going to be faithful tomorrow? How about Sunday? Because he's always faithful. He's been faithful to this church for 50 years. Even when we weren't so faithful, he was still faithful. Aren't you glad for that? I want to talk to you tonight about the Lord Jesus Christ and how we need to belong to him, how we need to have him in us and we in him, how we need to be taken and brought into the Spirit and be like Jesus. And I'm going to do that by looking at the high priest office a little bit tonight. And we're going to go to the book of Hebrews and read a little bit. Hebrews chapter 9, we're going to start with verse 6. You know, when I came into the church, first pastor was Pastor Knuckles, and he taught about the tabernacle plan and put a great word of God in me, Pastor Daniel. But it's not in the tabernacle plan. The truths are there, Tim, but we're not living in that age anymore. We're living in a much better age. We're living in the age of the apostle. The apostles' doctrine. But those truths are hidden in the tabernacle. So we're going to talk a little bit about the pattern that's shown was shown to Moses in the mount. That pattern was from where, Megan?
From God.
From God, from heaven. Right? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 6. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. So, just briefly, they had a tabernacle, they had a holy place, and a holiest of holies. They had curtains, drapes, everything was hidden from the people or from those that weren't priests. I think many times how the nations around must have wondered what in the heck was going on, because it was all hidden. You didn't see much of anything. All you saw was the brazen laver and the altar. Everything else was hidden behind curtains. But I wonder at times what the nations must have thought around about, how smelling the flesh burning, seeing the pillar of fire, seeing the cloud during the day. But there were priests that were used. There were priests, and then there was a high priest. So the priest did service in the first tabernacle, but into the second went the high priest alone once every year. So the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go into the holy place. He would sacrifice before he went in there for himself and for the nation. And he would go into the holy place through the veil, Brian. The veil would be what was there, in which was Christ. We will talk a little bit about that. He'd go into the holy place. And there, the glory of God would be there on the mercy seat. And he would talk with God. And what he would do is he would roll the sins of the nation, of the people, onto the next year. So their sins would be taken care of for a year. Jesus, of course, is our high priest of a better covenant. We're going to talk about that. And on the Day of Atonement, they went into the priest every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself, and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only to meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But now he talked about the law and the Old Testament tabernacle. But now Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, the one from heaven, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats. There was a lot of bloodshed, goats, bulls, and this blood was not of goats or bulls, but only his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So Christ, the perfect sacrifice, Steve, he entered in once with his own blood, and then that sacrifice was done, never to be needed again, right? He went up to the Father and sprinkled the blood, right? Did the work of the high priest, and so that it was never to be needed again. For the blood of bulls and of goats and of ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So Christ did the work. Did it how many times, PK? Once. Once for all. Never needs to have happened to you. So Christ died for you. How many know that? He shed his blood for you. In this picture of the Day of Atonement, one of the feast days, Gary, he forever made it so that it would never have to be done again. But in the law, today, they still follow those things. But we have a better way, don't we? Yes. We have a sacrifice that was perfect in the eyes of God, without sin. And the blood was shed, Micah. You've seen that, haven't you? His perfect blood was shed. He was the perfect sacrifice. And God did that all for us. For us. Are you worthy? No. In him I'm worthy, that's all. So we become a part of that work that Christ has done. How do we become a part? I'm going to show you. Let's go to Hebrews chapter, I think it's verse chapter 9, verse 7. No, that's one I just did, right? All right. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of goats, bulls, and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. So his sacrifice was a perfect sacrifice, not pertaining to the flesh, but pertaining to a body that the Lord from glory came and put himself in a body. And that body was, the blood was shed and given to the Father. And now the Father has the work that's being done in him. Hebrews chapter 6. Let's start with verse 18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. So he's talking about a hope that enters into the veil. The veil that where the holiest of all is, where he would meet with the mercy seat of God, with the glory of God. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So Christ is the forerunner, PK. If there's a forerunner, what do you think? There's got to be some after him, right? Yes. Who do you think that is? Raise your hand and shake it a little bit. I'm following Jesus, Brian. I'm following Jesus. Where did Jesus go? To the Father, right? He went to the place of the Father, and he took that precious blood, Brian. Can you imagine? And he sprinkled it on the mercy seat in heaven. And the Father was there and saw what was done and was pleased with what God had done. And we are, he being the forerunner, we have hope, Pastor Daniel. We have hope in what that promise that he gave us, the same promise he gave Abraham. A promise that he gave Abraham. Not only was it a promise, but he said, it's an oath to you. We have the hope of that. And that hope that we have, that oath that we have, brings us into the presence of God. We've been hearing a lot about entering into the spiritual realm, right? Getting into the place where we can minister to God, minister to the Lord. This is what we're talking about. This is how we've done it. This is how we will do it. And the only way it can take place. Going through that veil, that is to say, his flesh, into the spirit so that we can work the works of God. And it's a wonderful thing. But it can only be done if we're following Christ, if we're touching Christ, if we're involved with, if he's part of me and I'm part of him. Amen? I had a vision one time, and I was in heaven with the Lord, very light, lots of light, and he was in me and I was in him. And I knew we were overcoming enemies. But I knew without being in him and him in me, there was no way it would take place. It was only because of my relationship with him, the part that he was a part of me and I was a part of him, that took place, that I could overcome my enemies. And it was a glorious place, a glorious place, a place I desired to be. And that's how we get there, with Jesus. The only way. You're not going to get there without it. I've met so many people that think that their works are going to get them there. Your works will not get you there. What did that say about dead works? Huh? What is a dead work? Taking a truth and not trying to complete it in a human way or in a man way, bringing it into this realm. That's a dead work. Taking the truth, do you hear what I said? And bringing it into the flesh, trying to bring it to pass in the flesh. Christ didn't do that. His work was true. His work was right. His work was holy. And he brought forth a glorious, glorious. Notice it said, in fact, let me read a scripture here. I think it's, is that, help me, Romans 8. See if I can find it here. Bear with me. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. So he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of the Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, he also called. Whom he called, then he also justified, and whom he justified, then he also glorified. Wow. Predestinated? Was it called? Justified? Glorified. That's pretty awesome. Do you get to the glorified without being predestined? You say, brother, that's rough. You should read chapter 9. You think 8 is rough. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And what? Ordained you that you should bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. And then whatsoever you ask, it's going to be given unto you. Why? How many think you made choices that got you here tonight? Careful. What did he say? You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Predestinated? Oh, yeah. You think it's a happenstance that these brethren are here teaching us and preaching us from all over the country at this particular time, at this particular age, with the glorious gospel? Now, God put that all together, Brian. I believe it with all my heart. I said this last week, but I'm going to say it again. I remember seeking for the Lord, Tim. We tried so many different religions. I was born and raised Lutheran. But there was a hole. There was something lacking. And we came to this church 49 years ago. A rickety old building. A house that the walls were knocked out. But I felt and heard a word that gave me hope. I still know what he preached that day. My wife's back there. She'll remember too, I'm sure. You remember? Where did she go? Pride, right? Pride. It'll get you. But it didn't get me because of the grace of God. Because I joined myself to him. Because I followed the forerunner. And I refused to be pulled out of the way. Were there opportunities? Oh, yeah. Lots of devils tried. But we overcame because of him, Jesus Christ. He's our forerunner. If we want to get there where these men, these brethren have been teaching us and preaching to us where we need to go and how we need to get there, we're going to have to follow that, Jesus, and we're going to have to follow that word. It's going to bring us in. I'm excited because it's going to bring us in. It's going to bring me in. It's going to bring me into more spiritual depths. We need that. How many are excited about that? The opportunity this weekend is great. If we could listen the right way. If we could hear the voice of a man and know that it's the truth of God, that it's God speaking to us, it'll change us, Tim. It'll change us. Yes. Was it last year, I think, at conference or whenever we had it last time? We talked about the way, the doorway that was ministered, opened by you guys. That's what I taught on and preached. That's happening. How many know that's happening? You can see it in people. You can see the joy and the hope and the great thoughts that are taking place in people's lives because we're following Jesus. We need to be stuck with him. Stay with him. Stay with his truths. Believe the word of God that is in truth the word of God, what you hear this weekend, what you hear. If you hear it the right way, it'll do glorious things for you for sure, without a doubt. How many believe that? Called, chosen, and what? Faithful. Not an accident that you're here tonight. It's by the working of God. By the very working of God. He's brought you to this place at this time to receive a word from me, Gary, and these other brethren. And God's going to do a work in our lives. You believe that? Yes. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Who's going to take it? Tim? Thank you, Tim.